You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You can do a lot of damage with convictions when they are all wrong.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us faith and love as you do in Christ Jesus, your Son. Make us new in thought, word, and action with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Take us over the hills and the valleys in our lives with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Give us the joy of life with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you today about a man whose words have changed the world. He was a man of great conviction, with a passion for truth. People admire those who have convictions. Anybody who has convictions must be right. At least he can't be all bad and all wrong. The man I'm telling you about today found out from personal experience that you can be absolutely convinced and be all wrong. What is more, he said, you can do a lot of damage with those convictions when they are all wrong. The man I'm talking about is first mentioned in the 7th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Some people with convictions had just taken a young man, a Greek named Stephen, and thrown him out of the city. There they stoned him. Before they did that, they laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and called out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. Although apparently the other young man, Saul, did not participate in the stoning, he had a great deal more to do with it than meets the eye. A revealing sentence in that account informs us, Saul was consenting to Stephen's death. Immediately afterwards, Saul went to work in earnest. A great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, scattering believers all over the place. While devout men were burying Stephen, Saul laid waste the church, entering house after house, dragging off men and women, and committing them to prison. It was not malice that drove him on, so much as conviction. He was convinced he was doing the right thing. He was doing it for God and for truth. Truth was his passion. This was truth. He was right, and the others were wrong. Convictions can be wrong, all wrong. People who have them and follow them can be all bad. St. Paul said so. He described himself and what he had been. "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant know-it-all. I used to scoff at the name of Christ. I hunted down his people, and I hurt them in every way I could. God had mercy on me because I didn't know what I was doing. I did not know Christ at the time. But the grace of our Lord was more than enough for me. It got the best of me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." The man changed. He got a whole new way of looking at things. His whole life became an open book filled with kindness instead of hatred, full of faith in the very one whose name he had tried to blacken, and warm with love toward the very one whose name he had found to be too bitter even to mention, except possibly in a curse. How kind our Lord was to me, he said. He showed me how to trust him and become full of the love of Christ Jesus. As much as anyone, he has helped people down through the ages. He came to know Jesus Christ as Lord, to find faith and hope in him. I quote him all the time, and so do Christian people throughout the world. They talk about him not only with respect, but also with affection. Men and women, boys and girls, can understand him when he says, I handed on to you what I myself received, that Christ died for our sins as the Scripture said he would, that he was buried, and that he was raised again from the dead as the Scripture said he would be. The man with conviction, convinced he was right, simply acquired a new affection, convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord. It was a new conviction, a different kind of conviction. Not just one conviction taking the place of another conviction, but a personal reception of a gift from God, personal affection for the Son of God, personal revolution from bitterness of hatred to the positive expression of a new kind of life with a complete renewal of heart, mind, and spirit. This is truth, he said, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And of that bunch, I am the first-class example. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep whatever I commit to him against that great day when he will appear in all his glory. That's conviction, too. It is not conviction just to say it. It takes doing to prove that it is conviction. Not just talk, but doing. It takes faith and love, both of which come from Christ Jesus, and are always directed toward Christ Jesus. They are, as Paul said, in Christ Jesus. He's the heart and the core of the faith, as he is the heart and the core of the love. Faith and love in Christ Jesus made this man a new man. He even got a new name. Somewhere along the line, people began to call him Paul instead of Saul. Maybe he wanted it that way. Some of them preferred it, too. They remembered what he had been, and now they saw what he had become. We call him St. Paul, but he called everybody a saint who has come to know Jesus Christ with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The dramatic story of how he came to know Christ Jesus is told three times in the New Testament. You can read it for yourself in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. He probably told it a lot oftener than that. When he told the story, it was not to brag about himself, as so many people do when they witness to what God has done for them. When Paul talked, there never was a question in anybody's mind about whose glory it really was. We preach not ourselves, he said, but Christ Jesus as the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For the great God who once said, let there be light, has shined into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. He was always talking about Jesus Christ. In Christ, he said, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us, and has entrusted to us his word of reconciliation. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again from the dead to put us right with God. From personal experience, this man, Paul, had found out how true and real that is. Like all the apostles, he talked about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. None talked about it more persuasively than he. I was not really fit to be called an apostle, he said. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace did not come to me in vain. It did what it was supposed to do. It turned me around and upside down. It made a new man of me. What you see now is not someone trying to take you in with high-blown speech or eloquent phrases. To put it real simply, the grace, the love, the kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ just got the best of me. It turned me around. It gave me life with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. A lot of people would like to have that today, but don't know where to find it. There it is, my friend, in Christ Jesus. He's not just a religious figure calling upon people to adopt a new religion. He's God's man, born to die for us all. Everything that rises up to haunt us, he nailed to his cross. He just rubbed out all the handwriting on that blackboard where your sins are enumerated. He arose from the dead, and he's got the whole world in his hands. In him resides all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, in the body of his flesh. As Paul described the graphic reality of what happened on Christ's cross, in the body of his flesh, he absorbed the whole business. And now he is Lord, forgiving, loving, speaking up for everyone who espouses his saving name, the love of Christ, the love he has for us, impels us, said Paul, because we thus judge when one died, all died. Our names are written on his cross. Yours is there and so is mine. He died for all, that those who live by faith in him should not from this time on live to themselves, but to him who for their sakes died and rose again with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Nobody has ever talked more persuasively about faith in God than did this man Paul. Sinners are justified, he said, put right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. We conclude and are convinced that a man is justified by faith and is freed from all that self-justification which makes prigs of religious and irreligious people alike and makes all of life a bore. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Paul found out what that means. We have peace with God, he said, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have this access to our Father. We can talk to him as dear children talk to their dear father. We can ask him, and he will hear. We can act in his name and be freely human in everything he told the followers of Jesus. In whatever you do, in word or deed, even when it comes to eating and drinking, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. The great thing is that all kinds of people gathered around Paul. They listened to him and believed. They believed not in Paul, but in Jesus Christ. Some soldiers heard and believed. Sailors heard and believed. Government officials heard, and some of them believed. Others said, we will hear you again on this matter, and did not believe. Particularly convincing was the love with which this man spoke. He reasoned with people about purity of life, control of the passions, and future judgment. But always he came out with the love of Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power. Men and women listened and believed. Contrary to what some people have thought, Paul was not a hater of women. A woman was his first convert on European soil. She offered him and Luke her own home as headquarters in the city of Philippi. They accepted gladly, and from there the good news of God went out to the whole Western world. He said, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Christ died for the church. That kind of love goes all the way. Women were not generally loved at that time in that way. Often they are not loved in that way today. Let us have no fake love, he said. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This is the kind of fruit that faith in Jesus Christ produces in the lives of people who come to know Jesus Christ and trust him and follow him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here you have a man ruled by Christ's Spirit. This is salvation, and this is how it works, he said. A man begins to live in Christ. For me, he said, living is Christ. I've been forgiven, and I've learned how to forgive. I've learned how to be content with little. Life does not consist in the abundance of the things a man possesses, as our Lord said. The Lord Jesus loves a cheerful giver. The man just let himself go with the Spirit of God. He was not looking back, as most people do. He was always looking forward. I forget the things that are behind, and I press toward the mark, he said. The prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. It's never easy. It's tough. There were those moments of flashing opportunity, like the one at the jail in Philippi, where the jailer came in shaking all over and asked, "Men and brethren, what shall I do?" Paul was ready. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Then there were those other moments when he was given 39 lashes, whipped 3 times, stoned and left for dead on the road, shipwrecked without food, shelter, or clothing. And in just those moments, glory came into full view. "I am persuaded," he said, "that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." It was like crucifixion. "I'm crucified with Christ." That's what he said. "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." With faith in Christ, a man can live. Faith works. That's Christ. He works in everyone who hears the good news of God's grace with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. That's Christ. He dwells richly in the hearts of his people by faith, and he helps them to know the length and breadth and height and depth, the love that passes knowledge. That's Christ. He forgives. That's Christ. He lives. That's Christ, my friend. He gives. He gives you life. Christ makes it possible for people like us to live with the triumph of Paul. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That's Christ. Put your trust in him, my friend, and go ahead and live with him. Amen.